identify yourself, or if you can kindly rename yourself. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Les Govender from KwaZulu-Natal.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Caroline Maasela from Limpopo.
The member from Limpopo, are you 281187 on the participant list?
Yes, I'm 281187.
Okay, thank you.
So my name Caroline Mahasela.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you.
Are you aware of which way that it's your skills and the friendship before you that you have?
Oh.
Maar ze moet gewoon mijn phone weer brengen, nee, want... Marcel?
Yes, Jefferson?
And you flag for us the agenda.
Yes, I'll do that now, Chief. You want me to do it now?
Yes, please.
I'll do it now.
Thank you, Marcel.
Sure.
Yes, I can see it. Yes. Thanks a lot.
Welcome. No, I'm in a meeting, you are not.
Members, we've got 2 minutes left before I will start the meeting. Can I just request that everybody mute their mics?
Thank you. Hi.
Hi, good old Gideon.
Afternoon, members.
Hi, Camarada.
Are you working? Okay, members, I will start the meeting now.
They are starting now, yeah?
Can you mute your mic, please? Yes, can you please mute your mic?
In terms of pharmaceutical services, we're stock up. We're national stock up in terms of some of the medication.
Can I please ask that everybody mute their mic? Thank you. It's officially 3:00. I want to open the meeting. The agenda is on the screen in front of you. It is the meeting.
Who's half past three? Same guy did the meeting in Alan.
Umaleka. The agenda is in front of you on the screen. It's a meeting of the Select Committee of Health and Social Services. Can the staff assist me to mute people's mics, please? It is a disturbance. The first point on the agenda is the opening and welcome by the chairperson and its apologies. Next is a presentation by the Department of Social Development on the Social Assistance Amendment Bill. And then we will have deliberations and the responses from the department. And if everything went well, we will close the meeting by 5:55 with a closing remark. Now, allow me the opportunity, members, to welcome all members of the Select Committee into this meeting, as well as our support staff. Then, part of this meeting today, we've got chairperson and members from 8 legislatures on the committees of social development. Gauteng province, unfortunately, is having a sitting. We also got the state law advisor, Mr. Siza Mabakweni, and parliamentary legal advisor, Mr. Siviwe Njekela, who's also present in this meeting. Present is also the acting DG of Social Development and some of his colleagues. And then also, before I start the meeting, I would love to ask all members that we are out. A moment of silence because we have lost a member of the National Assembly, Member Isham Muhammad, and then we also have lost an icon in social services. So can we just bow our head for a minute of silence for our two colleagues? Thank you, members.
Amanda.
Next on the agenda is apologies. Marcel, can you just give us the apologies for the meeting, please?
Chair.
Yes.
Chair, how are you?
I'm fine.
Thank you very much. It's Joseph Utani. Am I not in the wrong meeting? Because I don't see my name even on the alternatives. members and alternatives. So am I not in the wrong meeting?
You're supposed to be in the meeting where we are going to discuss the bill.
Honorable Sani, you are in the right meeting.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay, Marcel, can you give us the apologies, please? Marcel, are you there? Or otherwise, let me just give it. We received an apology from the minister as well as the deputy minister that won't be able to join us in this meeting. But the acting DG is present, who will be part of this meeting, presenting social development. And I don't know if there's any apology from any member, and then the apologies from Gauteng province. Can we agree?
I haven't received any apologies from our members. We have yourself, Ms. Nchabaleng, Ms. Maleka, Mr. Baha, Ms. Christian, and Ms. Latuli in the meeting. Thank you.
All is in the meeting. Okay, the minister's apology is that... Yes, who's speaking?
It's Ndongeni. I'm on the...
Are you there? Are you there? Thank you. The apology from the minister is that the minister is attending the National COVID-19 Command Council meeting as we speak. The deputy minister will also not be available. She has a scheduled appointment already, which was a prior commitment before the date of this meeting has been finalized. So can we accept the apologies for the minister and the deputy minister members? Member Dongeni? I'm waiting for one of the members from the select committee to accept the apologies.
Okay, we accept the apologies. Is it written?
Yes, it's an email.
Oh, okay, no problem.
Thank you. Now, members, I would love the members from the different provinces who is in the meeting, if the chairperson of the committee can introduce him or herself together with the members attending the meeting. I will start with the Eastern Cape. Eastern Cape, are you here? Marcel, you can take off this from the screen now. Is Eastern Cape in the meeting? If Eastern Cape is not in the meeting, is the Western Cape in the meeting? And is the members from the Western Cape Legislature in the meeting? If not, can we move to Mpumalanga?
Yes, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Jane Sithole from the Democratic Alliance in Mpumalanga Provincial Legislature. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other members from Mpumalanga in the meeting?
Yes, Chairperson. My name is Nsako Mkabela. I'm the member of the EFF
Environmental Social Development.
Thank you. Any other member from Mpumalanga?
Yes, Chairperson, I'm Werner Weber, representing the Freedom Front in Mpumalanga.
Thank you. So can I then move from Mpumalanga to Limpopo? Any member from Limpopo?
Chairperson, my name is Caroline Marcella, Limpopo. Mm.
Thank you. Anyone else from Limpopo? Good afternoon, Chairperson. I'm Honorable Matthias Van Violet from Limpopo. Thank you.
My name is Josie Wutani from Limpopo.
Thank you. Is there any other person, any other member from Limpopo here?
And Chabeleng is also from Limpopo, let's not forget.
You're not from Limpopo, Chaban.
Honorable.
Okay. KZN.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. My name is Les Govender, member of the Ikata Freedom Party from KwaZulu-Natal.
Thank you. Any other person from KZN? Thank you. Next from KZN.
Afternoon, Chairperson. I'm Nozipho Mabuso from KwaZulu-Natal, a member of the African National Congress.
Chairperson?
Yes.
I'm Lusiwe Ngubane from KZN, deployed by African National Congress. Thank you.
Chairman Chair, I'm Pumzile Mbatha Cele, a member of African National Congress in KZN Legislature.
Thank you. Is that the whole delegation from KZN? Can we then move to the Free State?
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair. My name is Marie Petawai, and I'm representing the Democratic Alliance.
Thank you. Any other member from Free State?
Chair, my name is Thabo Meko from the Free State Legislature, deployed by the ANC.
Thank you. Are we finished with Free State? Can we go to the Northwest? So there's no one from Northwest, Northern Cape? No one from Northern Cape? I will ask again, is there anybody from Eastern Cape? Is there anybody from the Western Cape? So thank you. I will now give the opportunity to the members of the Select Committee to introduce themselves.
Only three out of nine. I think Advocate Jacob said that quite clearly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good afternoon, members from Legislature. My name is Nokuzola Ndongeni. Good afternoon, staff. Thank you.
Next member.
Chairperson.
You can Chairperson. Yes.
Okay. Igama lami nguSilindile wakaluthuli, ngiqhamuke KZN, ngaphansi kwe-EFF, ngiyabingelela kona wonke umuntu kanye namalungu e-legislature.
Thank you, Member Luthuli. Where's the other member?
I'll introduce myself again. Elegant Chabelem from Limpopo, representing the movement, the ANC.
Thank you. I see Member Christian.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Dalmaine Christians, also a member of the NCLP Select Committee, representing the Democratic Alliance. Thank you.
Thank you. Member Maleka.
Good afternoon to all. My name is Audrey Maleka. I'm from Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Member Baha.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mbulelo Bacha from the Democratic Alliance in Gauteng. Thank you, Chair.
Is the other member from Northwest here and from Free State? Are they in the meeting, Marcel? Doesn't seem like that. Acting DG, I would love you to introduce yourself and your panel.
Honorable Chair, a very good afternoon to you and the members of the committee. My name is Linton Mkhono. I'm the Acting Director General at Social Development. And I'm accompanied by my colleague, the Deputy Director General for Social Protection Services, Ms. Brenda Sibeko, as well as Advocate Brink, Dr. Maureen, Mrs. Kumo, as well as Brenton from the Department of Social Development. That's our delegation this afternoon, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Then I do have the two delegations from the Parliament legal side. Can the two of you introduce yourself, please? Ms. Makabeni and Mr. Nkela.
Afternoon, Chair. Afternoon, members. My name is Sisa Makabeni. I'm from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor.
So your colleague is not on the platform. Doesn't seem like it, maybe. So
good afternoon, Chair.
Are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Siviwe Njikela from Parliamentary Legal Services. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Njengane, who is traveling with another committee.
Thanks a lot. Then we've got our dedicated staff, Marcel. We are all of you, Tabile, Zoe, Kulu, Unkululi. Can you introduce yourself? I want to see your faces here, staff members. Are you
here? Good afternoon, Chairperson, members of the provincial legislatures, colleagues, and the departmental officials, including the acting DG. Marcel Williams, the committee secretary for the committee on Select Committee on Health and Social Services. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members. I'm Tavi Leke, Independent Advisor for the committee. Good afternoon, please.
Good afternoon, Chair.
Are you here?
Yes, I'm here, Chair.
Okay.
This is Mkhululi Molo, the committee researcher.
And Zukti.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Victor Frank. I'm the committee assistant of the committee. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. The reason why I did the introduction is because...
Sorry,
yes.
Sorry, sorry, Chair. I have a request, ma'am. Now, I was requesting, you made a request, Chair, that we need to see these people when they introduce themselves. We are going to find people addressing us from the bed here.
Okay.
Yeah, we must respect this meeting in a proper place, and those in bedrooms, they must try to put a cover like yours there.
Thank you very much, member. Maybe just to highlight the issue that because of the virtual meeting, what we request, because a lot of our members is losing and staff members is losing their signal quite often. So in our meetings, people will switch on their mics only when they speak. Because we also must look at the network coverage, that not everybody's network is so good. So maybe just to take you a bit further. The reason why I want everybody to introduce themselves is we are going to work with a bill. And when we are working with a bill, it means that it's a process that we must follow from the NTOP together with the provincial legislature. Now, this bill was referred on the 9th of June 2020 to the NTOP. This process is a six-week cycle, and our briefing today is the first meeting of the process. Provincial briefings must happen from the 31st of August to the 4th of September. Now, legislature has made a request to the select committee that they want to be part of this meeting today, which then means it will make the process to brief the legislature so much easier. We were expecting 8 provinces, and it seems like not everybody's in the meeting, but we can deal with that after this meeting. So the members of the select committee must do provincial briefings in the provinces on the bill. Then the public hearing in provinces is for 2 weeks, from the 7th to the 18th of September. Then negotiating mandates meeting for our committee is scheduled for the 22nd of September. And then the final mandates meeting for where we finalize and report on the bill is scheduled for the 29th of September. That will conclude the process. Now, I'm very pleased that we have members from the provincial legislature in this meeting, because the next item on this agenda is that we will get a briefing from the Department of Social Development on this bill. So without any hesitation, I will ask the DG and his team to take us through this bill, and after that presentation, we will then have time to deliberate. So members, we will have time to deliberate on the bill, and then the acting DG and his team will do the responses after our deliberation. Thank you very much. Acting DG, I'm going to hand over to you now.
Thank you very much once again, Honorable Chairperson, a very good afternoon to all members, including members from the legislatures. Chair, perhaps let me start by indicating that we ourselves as a department have received invitations from two legislatures, to be specific, the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape, to brief them on the subject matter this afternoon. And so we will take guidance then from yourself, Honorable Chair, in terms of how we manage that process. We are willing and available to do so with the guidance of yourself, Honorable Chair, and this very important committee. Chair, thank you once again for the opportunity to present to this important select committee for health and social services the Social Assistance Amendment Bill. Of course, the bill was introduced to Parliament on the 13th of April in 2018, but of course it lapsed due to the changes from the 5th to the 6th administration. It was again revived in October last year, and the committee, the portfolio committee, considered the bill, and after receiving verbal and written comments from various civil society organizations, after inserting some of the minor changes to the bill, the committee recommended it for approval in March this year. And as you indicated, Chair, the bill was then passed to the National Assembly and transmitted to the NTOP for concurrence on the 9th of June of this year. In essence, by way of summary, or high-level summary, the bill seeks to provide a few changes to the Social Assistance Act. Maybe just chief amongst these is to indicate that it's what we're trying to do is to empower the minister with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, of course, to make additional amounts payable to on top of the existing social grants payments. This will enable the minister to implement the extended child support grant policy, which allows for the payment of additional amounts on top of the existing current child support grant. The policy was approved, of course, by Cabinet in 2016 and is part of the legal solution or the legal comprehensive solution to the current foster care challenges which we are currently experiencing as a department. And of course, members would know that we are experiencing some challenges around the backlog of the foster care related matters. So the bill was also repealed the process of internal considerations within SASSA and provides for direct appeal to the independent tribunal for social assistance appeals, and some of our colleagues are here from that unit, which will significantly reduce the time period for finalization of an appeal. Currently, it takes us a very long time to conclude the appeals, and we think that this will assist us in fast-tracking that process. It also changes the organizational form of the Inspectorate for Social Assistance from a government department to that of a government component. I'd also like to mention that the bill is part of a High Court ruling to implement a comprehensive legal solution to the foster care-related matters that the department is currently experiencing, therefore it is imperative that the department takes back a positive report to the court before November this year, so that we can complete the first part of the comprehensive legal solution. So we are working towards that deadline of October, November, and this is an important part in reaching that that milestone in line with the court decision, or the court order rather, which was further extended until November this year. So, Chair, allow me now to ask the DDG for Comprehensive Social Security, Ms. Brenda Sibeko, to take you through the specifics of the amendments in more detail. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'd like to hand over to Brenda Sibeko.
Thank you.
Our hope is that the committee did indeed receive the presentation last week, and so we will attempt to flight it if the secretariat is possible, if it's possible to assist us. If not, we will then do it from our side. I think Brenda is currently muted.
I've just unmuted myself. Sorry, DG.
Thank you, DDG. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thanks. Good afternoon, honourable members from the NCOP and from the legislature. The bill I'm going to present now is called the Social Assistance Amendment Bill, the amendments to it. I'm going to try and share the presentation with you from my side. Okay, are you seeing it now?
Yes, DDG, we can see it.
Great.
Can you?
Yes, we can.
All right, thank you so much. I will not repeat the introduction that the DG already said in terms of what the key priorities of the bill is. You already have it there, which is basically to allow the minister to be able to make additional amounts. I'll speak to this a little bit. And then also to remove the reconsideration provision in the legislation, which I'll also explain, and also to facilitate the establishment of the Inspectorate for Social Assistance. These are the three key provisions in the legislation. With regards to the first one around allowing additional amounts, currently we already provide additional amounts in terms of the old age grant for people over the age of 25 years old. They get an extra 20 rand from over and above the normal old age grant. So we're already providing that additional amount, but it's not necessarily regularized in the legislation yet. So this provision is going to do that. But in addition to that, it's also going to allow us to add an additional amount to the child support grant specifically in order to deal with the issues that the DG was describing with regards to the child support grant. But I think it's worth taking you through to exactly what is this policy that I'm saying is going to allow us to be able to implement the extended child support grant policy. So if I move to the next slide, the country, as you are aware, experienced that period when there was a very high level of HIV/AIDS in the country and many, many deaths during that time, which resulted in an exponential increase in the number of orphans in the country. And as a result of that, many of these children then found themselves being raised by relatives or grandparents primarily and other family members. But because of also the high levels of poverty in the country, what has tended to happen is that many of those families would then apply for the foster child grant for those children, primarily because the foster child grant is a much higher amount than the child support grant. So what tends to happen then is many families are now having to go through the foster child system, which is fairly complex in order for them to be able to access the child support grant, because our requirement in the legislation is that in order for a person to qualify for a foster child grant, they must produce a court order that shows that they have been appointed to be a foster parent for a child. So for them to navigate that system means that if many people are doing that, many children are doing that, even the children who are in need of care are also having to queue in that same system, which gets very clogged up, the result being some really needy children who are not necessarily in families, in safe environments, are also finding it difficult to navigate the foster child system and therefore end up not being able to access it. So what we're trying to do is just to separate the two things, to say that the foster child system is intended primarily for children who are in need of care, those children who are abandoned or not in safe places. And so if it gets overwhelmed by other children who are in safe places, living with families, primarily because of the money issue, then we need to be dealing with it differently. We need to make sure that the foster child grant is not a poverty relief benefit, but rather a child protection benefit, which is what they intend to have in the first place. So what we're trying to do, therefore, is to say, let us create an intermediate benefit which enables those families that are taking on children from their own families to be able to access a slightly higher grant than the current child support grant. So the key policy intervention then is that we will use the existing child support grant. It's not a new grant, but we will use that grant as a way in which to allow a slightly higher amount for those children who are living with their families, often children who are living with relatives, so that they can get a slightly higher amount. The idea currently was to provide around an additional 50% of the current grant, child support grant. But of course, this needs to be agreed between our minister and the Minister of Finance, so that those children will not go necessarily through the foster child system, but they will use their normal system. Can I continue, Chairperson?
All right. Can I do a last request, please, members? Can you mute your mic if you're not speaking?
So the key variation in this, honorable members, is that those children who are orphaned but living with their families would access a top-up over the child support grant, and this process would not require them to go through court. They would not need an assessment by the social worker. There would be no need for a court order. They would just apply using the normal child support grant process. The only difference is that if there are relatives looking after a child who's an orphan of the same family, then they would be able to get the extra allocation. That's the primary thing in terms of this policy. It was approved by Cabinet in 2016. And then at that stage, there was agreement for the funding of this grant. And now that there was a bit of a delay in implementing it, the minister has confirmed again with the National Treasury that in fact this is going to go through this year, so that the allocation that had previously made will now be provided again. And as DJ has already said, this is in line with the comprehensive legal solution that has been that the department has been directed to implement. We are supposed to amend this social assistance legislation and the Children's Act. I think Parliament is already going to be dealing with the Children's Amendment Bill very soon, and this one is also the supporting legislation there. And then, so the formulation that we have in the legislation currently is that we basically want to empower the Minister of Social Development with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance to determine additional amounts payable on the existing grants and to make regulations for the qualifying criteria for these additional amounts. So once these two things are in place, then there'll be this extended child support grant in place. It's formulated in a fairly broad way by saying additional amounts without specifying which grant, so that should the future, in the future, should it be necessary for us to do these kinds of amendments, there's already an enabling clause in the primary legislation for it. But then the regulations will specify exactly what the criteria will be and also what the amount will be in terms of the grant. The second key change in the legislation that we are proposing has to do with the reconsideration provision in the current Act. Section 14 and Section 18 of the current legislation makes provision for an administrative review of the decisions within SASSA relating to grant applications. So if somebody applies for a grant and SASSA makes a decision that they will not give the person a grant for whatever reason, there is a requirement within the current framework that SASSA must, if the person complains, they must approach SASSA and SASSA must reconsider their decision and go through an administrative process which allows them 90 days in which to consider the person's request for a reconsideration if they feel that the decision was incorrect. Once that has happened, then SASSA is allowed to then say to the person, we confirm our decision or we've changed our mind. The problem with this provision is that it's really just a lot of delay for a lot of beneficiaries, because we are finding that in the majority of cases, those people when SASSA has made these reconsideration decisions, actually it just adds to time, but people then still come back to the department to apply in terms of the appeals process, and when they do that, the decision is not different. So the appeals tribunal does not, in a lot of cases, rescind SASSA's decision. So this 90 days that people are spending on it is actually just delaying for them to get their right to administrative justice. So what we are doing in this regard, we are saying instead of requiring for people to first go to SASSA for the 90-day reconsideration and then after that go to the tribunal for another 90 days, because once SASSA finalizes this decision, the people are allowed another 90 days through which they must now go to the tribunal, which sits outside of SASSA, to be able to have their complaint heard there. In the majority of cases, there's no difference between the decision of SASSA and the decision of the tribunal. So if we cut the 90 days for SASSA's reconsideration, it means that the whole appeal process will be reduced from being 180 days to just being 90 days, which means we will provide people with a much speedier ability to exercise their right to administrative justice than if they have to go through the two processes. So we are just doing away with that law. The third provision, this one is relating to the Inspectorate for Social Assistance. The Inspectorate for Social Assistance was not promulgated, although it's in the legislation. It didn't get implemented at the time that SASSA was established, but now there is an intent to implement the Inspectorate. At the time that it was classified, it was intended to be a government component, but the legislation that is in place now actually classifies it as a government department. The view of the department is that it's not necessary for the inspectorate to be a department because it doesn't have any policy-making functions. It rather just needs to be a government component. So the amendment that you are proposing here is to change it, to designate it as a government component rather than a government department. So this is primarily an administrative amendment to the legislation. So those are basically the key provisions, the introduction of a government component rather than a government department, and then the reconsideration removal from SASSA's responsibilities, and also the provision to to extend the child support grant by allowing an intermediate grant between the child support grant and the foster child grant to remove the need for many, many children to crowd the foster child system, and so that only the children who are really in need of care will go through the foster child system. So those are the three key priorities of this legislation, honourable members. The chairperson has already said that it was prepared here on the 9th of June, and that is the Section 76 bill. So at the time that the portfolio committee considered the bill, they were supportive of all of the proposals, and also the public hearings that were held were all in support of the legislation. The primary thing, though, that they did was when they were considering the bill, the portfolio committee made a small amendment to the current formulation of the bill in terms of the provision relating to the independent tribunal for social assistance appeals. They added a clause that says the minister must, after consultation with parliament, appoint an independent tribunal. So the addition was just that when we appoint the members of the Tribunal for Social Assistance Appeals, that Parliament must be consulted. So this is the only addition that they have added to the bill, so that going forward, when the appeals tribunal is appointed, then their applications must go through Parliament for consideration. That is basically the key provisions in the legislation, honourable members. We just recommend now that the NCOP note the amendments and support the National Assembly's decision to pass the Social Assistance Amendment Bill. Thank you. That concludes my presentation, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honourable chairperson. I think we'll be ready to take questions from yourself and the members now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DDG. Thank you, acting DG. I will ask members to raise their hands for questions. I've got honourable Maleka and honourable Letuli from the select committee who have given indication that they want to ask questions. I will ask Marcel to assist me with the names as people raise their hands. Okay, I've got Maleka Letuli, then I've got
Ndongeni.
Ndongeni. Yes. I've got Member Christian. Then I've got Werner, is it Weber? And after that, I've got Member Chabaleng. There's no other hands raised. Is there any other members from the legislature that would love to ask questions? So can we start with Member Maleka?
Thank you, Chairperson. Welcome the presentation from the department. Chairperson, I want to check the Social Assistance Amendment Bill includes a new child support plus grant designed to lessen the financial impact on families of being removed from the foster care system and no longer receiving the foster care grant. The grant allows for a 210 top-up to the CSG, currently 425, to compensate families for orphan care. Can the Department of Social Development provide a breakdown of the number of children who will be eligible for the CSG top-up instead of foster care?
Thank you, Member Maleka. Can we move to Member Letuli?
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to ask the department that children living in rural areas are often unable to access documents because the Department of Home Affairs offices are not within reach. The transport cost involving the traveling long distances to the nearest Department of Home Affairs offices are often
not possible. Often children living in rural areas, in the case of relatives, are particularly disadvantaged as they face that burden of long distances and multiple trips. So my question is, what is the department doing to ensure that our services such as foster care placement and foster care grant are available to the children in rural areas? And my last question, Chairperson, is that the shortage of social service practitioners and the lack of funding to the non-governmental child protection organization are seen as obstacle in improving the effectiveness of the foster care system. What are the plans of the Department of Social Development to recruit more social workers in the field of foster care and provide more funding for the non-governmental child protection organizations? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Letuli. I've got Member Dongeni.
Hello.
Hey, I can hear you, Member. You can continue.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the presentation from the department. But it's new to me and I've got a problem. My problem comes from when... Sorry, Chene. Okay, yes. One, since the start of the lockdown on 27 March 2020, the media has reported that social workers have battled to follow up on their cases, worsening the mounting backlog of foster care grants and placement. How is the department addressing the mounting backlog of foster care and grants and placements? The second one. The establishment of inspectors that functioning independently on both the Department of Social Development and SASA should be supported. However, that the skills and expertise of the inspectorate must be included, but not limited to at least one person who has legal background and experience in law, and at least one person with experience or expert knowledge of the forensic auditing and risk management. The last one, Chair. It's better technology, Trevor. Okay, let me pause there, Chair. Sorry.
Thank you, Member Dongeni. We move to Member Christian.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just have two questions. My first question is about the status of the just over 129,000 foster care orders. Now, these foster care orders are valid until the 26th of November 2020. And these foster care orders apparently need to be extended before this date. Otherwise, they're going to lapse. Now, I would like to know from the department, what is the status currently on these foster care orders? And what is the progress on the extension of these foster care orders? My second question is about the social worker, and we all know the background about the lack of social workers in the country. Now, the transfer of a foster care grant, we all know it doesn't need a court order, but it does require a social worker investigation, it does require a home visit, and it does require a report. But due to the lack of social workers in the country, and especially since the start of lockdown on the 27th of March, it has been recorded that social workers have been battling to follow up on cases. And that has worsened the backlog and mounting the backlog of our foster care grants. Now, I would like to know by the department, how are they addressing this mounting backlog of foster care grants and the placement of these vulnerable children. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Christians. We move to Member Weber.
Chairperson, I can't see how I can go against the support of orphan children. I can't see how I can justify if I do not support this. The problem I have is this is an extra expense for government, and we are spending through government as if there is no limit to the government's ability to spend. I believe that there is an ability a ceiling to the government's ability to fund, because we are going to hit the ceiling. So just to round off once again, I'm not against, and I can't see how I could be against supporting orphan children, but I have my reservations on the ability of the government to spend more and more and more. I thank you.
Thank you, Bieber. We move to Member Chavale. Chavale, are you here?
But however, I did hear the presentation. Though, Chairperson, I think we needed to have a briefing. If this briefing was circulated to all of us so that it's easy to ask questions. But my conversation...
Can you first introduce yourself? I don't have your name.
Oh, my name is Nondwakazi Swart Boy Ntombela, Chairperson of Social Development in KZN.
Welcome, Chairperson. You can continue.
So, Chairperson, can we please have the presentation, this particular presentation that was done by the presenter right now? And my contestation, Chairperson, is that I personally do not have a problem with the bill. However, we are still waiting for the NCOP to come and brief the portfolio committee in the provinces, so I cannot discuss about the bill that much. But the question that I wanted to ask is the issue of the offense, as well as tight-headed households. Does it mean that the new applicant will receive a grant that already includes the top-up now? That is the first question. The second question is with regard with SASSA. We understand that when the applicants have got problems in applying for these grants, they have got to appeal, but they do not understand the process of the appeal. Can SASSA publicize the process of appeal to the beneficiaries so that they know how do they appeal, Chairperson? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. The next member is Member Josie Butane.
Thanks, Chair. You know, it will be very difficult, and the process might be cumbersome, because when the presenter was presenting, I was asking myself, was it not going to be prudent that if we are to be invited as provinces to this platform, where we're not supposed to be taken through, so that when we speak, you don't just speak for the purpose of speaking, but you have done your research and you are fully understanding what you are talking about. Because even if you listen to members, there is some touching there and there. The discussions are not streamlined and coordinated like that. So I don't know if we are meeting now, and then from here is the public participation. Yet we ourselves here have not gotten that opportunity to zoom deeply into this matter before we take it out, to a point where you will find us talking parallel, the other one talking that side, different tongues like that. So I do not know what we are going to do, because some of the members here are touching some issues that maybe we would have even asked if provinces were engaged on the matter. For instance, here in Limpopo, you have 1,000 social workers not doing anything, not absorbed, some of them being trained by the department. You still have them looming around the street as if everything else is fine. During the processes of COVID, when it started, you tried to use some, we tried to use some, but the process did not capture the spirit of at least assisting the backlog of that 1,000 we are speaking about. And then you bring this issue now. You are still going to be faced with that issue of those 1,000 people that other members are talking about here, that it might be difficult to reach this and that process in terms of implementation. Chair, I don't know. Maybe the department can address us better on it. Chair, thanks.
Thank you, Member Butani. If there's no other member, because I think we lost Member Chabaleng. Are you back, Member Chabaleng?
Yes, Chairperson. I'm reconnected now. I thought maybe I don't want to answer for the department. I think they will answer for themselves. But the presentations and this were given to us quite some time ago. And then these matters were interacted with by the National Assembly, which shows that it's been in the public domain for quite some, yeah. But in one of the presentations, we were openly lobbied to support the inputs of the NA. Now, I just want to check generally that from the department, do they think that if we support those, will it, make their lives easier in terms of program implementation and all the other things of, related to service delivery? Will it ease the load? Will it make work much easier? And then if so, we'll also want to check that again with the legal team, both the parliament's lawyers and the state legal advisors. That's what I just want to check for myself, Chairperson. Thank you. But the rest, I think they'll answer for themselves.
Thank you, Member Chabaleng. Maybe just to give some guidance, this is a parliamentary briefing. And I think I will allow the DG, when it comes to the responses, to also share some light on some of the questions that was raised. In the beginning of the meeting, I highlighted the process that is going to happen from here. Due to COVID, some of the legislatures
requested us that they be part of the parliamentary briefing today, so that it will also make life easier when some of our members, together with the department, have to go to provinces and to provincial legislature to introduce a bill. And as the acting DG has given indication that it was only the Eastern Cape and the Western Cape that had a request that they must come and produce a bill, but we can talk about that later. But to the DDG and the acting DG, I've got some questions, and I think a lot of the issues has been raised by the members, and I think that we have come a long way with the discussions on this bill. And when we look into this bill, it is how will we implement the new legislation that will come out of this bill. Now, if we look at the backlog of the foster care application, and even with the Department of Justice, and I think most of us are familiar with how this bill can improve, especially the lives of foster children, and but my understanding is this implementation of the foster care won't only be dependent on the Department of Social Development, because there should be regular engagement between the Department of Social Development and other role players in the field of foster care. Now, my question is, does the Department of Social Development engage regularly with the judiciary and the Department of Justice and Correctional Services nationally and provincially in strengthening the relations towards improving the foster care service? Now, also, the issue of the social workers, and a lot of members has elaborated on the issue, but on a number of occasions, this department has reported that there is a shortage of social workers in the country. I'm very interested to know how many social workers does the department currently have, and how many social workers are required to implement the foster care. Because if we're going to approve this bill, what is important is the implementation part of this bill, to bring that relief and to ensure an effective foster care system in the country. It is also recommended that civil society engagement, consultation and participation in governance, implementation and monitoring processes must become a routine, and it must be funded. DG, acting DG, I'm very pleased to hear that the minister has already engaged with Treasury, and so that when this bill is approved by the end of September, as our predictions are in the NCOP, we don't want a further backlog because there's no funds. We also need to have that assurance that Treasury and the department will be ready for the implementation of this bill. That is from my side. I will hand over now if there's no more questions. Member Lestuli still got a question. I saw your hand. So I will allow you for another question, and then I will hand over to the acting DG. Thank you, Member Lestuli.
Okay, thank you so much, Chairperson. In fact, it's not a question per se. I hear the members of the legislature saying that they did not receive the documents.
And in your opening remarks, you stated that they requested to be part of this meeting. So I believe that when they are part of our meeting, they don't just come as audience or as visitors, but they come to also engage and also make our work much easier when we go to provinces, that they've already seen the bill and we've discussed it with them. So it makes our work and their work easier. So one would like to clarify whether they received the documents, because if they did not, it's unfair on their side to be in this meeting and then they see us engaging, because we've seen the documents, or the documents were sent to us long time ago, but Bona, they haven't seen it. So it's along those lines. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you, Member Letuli. Maybe just to answer the question on the documents. Because members, the documents was forwarded to all provincial legislatures, and I just received a message from the KZN PLO to say that the documents were sent to the committee coordinator, and it was requested from her to send it to the members. So from our side in the NCOP, our staff did send all documents to all legislators. That's where the request came from, that the legislators want to participate into our meeting of today. But I will leave it there, and I will ask the DG and the DDG to respond to the question. Thank you. Acting DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you for all the questions by the Honorable Members. What we will do, let me ask Brenda to first respond, and then I will ask one of your colleagues, and then I will come at the end. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Brenda?
Thank you, DG. I'll deal with some of the questions. And then if I've left anything else, I would hope then that my colleagues can assist. With regards to the question around the breakdown or the number of children that we think will qualify for the extended child support grant, our estimate at the time that we were doing the calculations, around 600,000 children that we think would qualify for it. So we think that by implementing this, we'll end up with maybe around 380,000 children who would still be in the foster child system. So we expect to be able to reduce the number of children who would be in the foster child system if we implement this extended child support grant. Remembering, of course, that with regards to the question around the cost of this thing and the concern around the cost is, in fact, by bringing more children into the extended child support grant, we'll provide a little bit more income to the children, but we will reduce some of the cost of that will be paid for through the reduction in the demand on the foster child system, because the foster child system pays a bit more than what would be required. So that's with regards to the issues around the changes that will happen in terms of the numbers. And then the question relating to the issues of access to relevant documents in order for the children to be able to access the grant system. You will recall, we already have a provision in the regulations now, understanding the difficulties for some of the children to be able to access the documents. We allow for children to access, to provide alternative documents so that they can access the child support grant. So that's already allowed, to allow the parents to then have a bit more time to get the correct documents. But alternative documents are already provided for in the existing provisions in the regulations to the Act. Then the issues around the foster child system and the challenges of social workers, the primary part of the motivation of this legislation that you're proposing now is actually to reduce the burden and the requirements, to release social workers to do the essential work of identifying children who are in need of care and support and putting them through the court system in order for them to be allocated foster parents, instead of them dealing with children who are already in safe environments. Our view is children who are living with their families extended families are not necessarily in need of care. So those are the children that we think should not be then clogging up the foster child care system. Hence the proposal to provide an additional amount of money for those children who are orphaned so that they don't go into that system. Therefore, the intent is to actually reduce the burden on social workers so that they can do other work that is also essential, given that we already have strategies in the country. So that's part of the motivation for doing, for making a proposal for this intermediate support. With regards to the numbers of social workers, let me just read the question properly. The question around what has happened since lockdown, the growth in the number of outstanding foster child, the increase in the backlog basically as a result of that, and also questions relating to what are social workers doing, what are we doing as a department in order to be able to deal with. You'll recall that there was a whole plan that was developed, which has been reporting to the court every, we are required actually to report to court regularly in terms of what we're doing, how we're dealing with the backlog. The currently, as of June, which is the last time that we reported to the court, the numbers of children that still needed to be re-evaluated for foster child services was 48,000. But remember, none of them are going to lose their grant because the grant has been extended all the way up to the end of November, and we need to start now making sure that we deal with that backlog, and then none of them will be prejudiced by losing their grant because they have not been reconsidered. That is a decision that has been made by the court that the department will stick to and SASSA will stick to. So as we implement this, the backlog has, the lockdown has created additional problems for us, of course, and you are also aware that the department has appointed more social workers. But the key thing to remember is as more and more children come into this system, we are trying to make sure that we deal with the 48,000 backlog that we are currently facing, but they will not lose their grant. It is extended all the way up until November. The numbers of social workers, I don't have that number now. Please allow me to get the number. I will be able to provide it at a later stage. I'm just getting the information from the correct persons who work with the numbers of social workers that we have in the country. But it's important to also say that with regards to the people who are appealing, it's correct to say some of them may not be familiar with the appeals process. SASSA is supposed to inform a person in terms of every time that a person is rejected for a grant, the decision to reject is also supposed to then say, but you may appeal, and then provide them with the relevant paper that they must fill in, and then the department will deal with the appeals. But now that we are trying to change the legislation to make it easier for people to access the appeals process, we will have to undertake from the department side a very careful program of informing all of the stakeholders regarding the new system, that they will not have to go through SASSA, they can come directly to the department in terms of appealing against any SASSA decision. But the current system is that we go to provinces regularly to inform them. SASSA does that. But of course, there will be those gaps where people are not accessing the information. It just means we need to improve our communication as the department and go to more and more places and make sure that this information is relayed in different platforms. But it's work that we will continue to do, and we hope that we can count on some of our count on this audience also to assist us in this regard. But we will continue. We will be doing more consultations now as the bill is being considered, so that we inform people about the new process that's going to come into being as soon as the legislation is changed. The numbers of social workers, I don't have the number. I said implementation of the bill. We are confident, Chairperson, that once the bill is passed, the money will be made available, because the Treasury had allocated money for it, and then it got taken away primarily because the bill was not in place. And when they were announcing the grants for this year, the new allocations for this year, the question was raised by the Minister of Finance to say, what about the extended child support grant? But we informed them at that stage that once the bill is passed, then we will make the request for the money. So we are confident that that will be allocated in terms of the additional allocation of money. The questions that I have left are largely about the numbers specifically. And if I'm unable to get my colleague to give me the numbers, can I request a chairperson through you that you provide that information at a later stage in a written format?
Yes, sir.
That's how far I was able to go in terms of the questions. I don't know if there's anything that I have left out.
DDG, thank you very much. I think it will be appreciated that you can send us the other questions that was raised. If you can send the information in written to the committee secretary, who will then send it out to even to the legislatures on all that question that's outstanding. Thank you.
Can I just make an additional comment? Sorry, Chairperson.
Yes.
There was a comment that I want to just concur with, because it is an important comment that was made regarding the inspectorate, and that the inspectorate should have it is supported, but we should make sure that it has in the personnel that will be hosting that will be appointed there, that there should be some legal expertise and forensic audit expertise and also risk management expertise. Yes, that is actually provided for in the legislation in the section that deals with the inspectorate. So definitely there will be that capacity in the inspectorate. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe let me try and respond to one or two of the questions. Maybe just to highlight that, of course, we have plans to reduce the backlog quite drastically, and we will also mean to report to the court on a regular basis in terms of updates in this regard. Let me say that COVID did indeed disturb us in that some social workers are not able to be on the ground. And we're not able to finalize all the work in that regard. We've worked on some catch-up plans with various provinces, with all provinces, and the provinces are at various levels in terms of their catch-up plans. And I think once we reach level 3 and 2, social workers were able to go to the ground again. But of course, at level 4 and level 5, it is not possible for them to be on the ground. So I think to respond to the question by yourself, Chair, indeed, we are having quarterly meetings with the Department of Justice and the Department of Home Affairs to be able to resolve some of the challenges that may occur in this regard in terms of processing our work. And we are also engaging with the National Treasury in this regard on a regular basis, so that we are able to ensure that the bill is adequately implemented. On the social workers part, I agree, Honourable Chairperson, we do have a serious challenge around social workers in the country on the whole. We tried to employ about 1,800 social workers not so long ago. The bulk of those went to assist with areas of gender-based violence and, of course, the recent COVID pandemic. But some of those will also be assisting in terms of dealing with foster care-related matters. And we're continuing to provide tools, and I know that the provision of tools of trade has been a serious challenge for some of our social workers, particularly those on the ground. But we are trying to work with the provinces in this regard to ensure that they're able to get their tools. We're also trying to push that provinces try and absorb more social workers. The 1,800 social workers that we brought is not necessarily enough. We still need much more than that. But we are working with provinces to see how best they can absorb more social workers. I can indicate that the Free State, for example, has agreed and has started absorbing a number of social workers in addition to those that we were processing from the national side, and other departments are indeed following suit in this regard. I can also just lastly indicate, Chair, that we continue to encourage our social workers in the provinces in particular to ensure that they take the cases to their local courts for review, to be processed and reviewed, because as you know, every 24 months we have to review the cases that come onto our system. So I think it's not an easy task for us, especially during COVID, but we are having to find new ways of trying to adapt to what we call the new norm of trying to engage with social workers and indeed the various stakeholders that we require to process the work around the foster care. Chair, we report on a regular basis, I think every 2 months, if I'm not mistaken, to the court on progress, and we'll be submitting a report in the next few days, I think before the end of this month, on progress being achieved in terms of the backlog. We did also ask for some extensions from the court, which was granted, and so we are working within that context. Let me just add those last few points, Honourable Chairperson, and indeed agree with Brenda that some of the questions we will be able to respond in writing accordingly, possibly by the end of next week, if that's okay with yourself or at a time that the chairperson would advise if it's much earlier than that. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, Acting DG. I see Member Govender was struggling to get in. He said he still has a question. Member Govender.
Thank you, Chairperson, for allowing me to come in at this point. And thank you to the Acting DDG and to Brenda for the presentation and for responding to questions. Chair, I just have one question regarding the appointment of an independent tribunal by the Minister. Now, what I need to know is, will the independent tribunal be made up of persons from within the Department of Social Development, or will they be from persons outside of the department? If so, how many persons will make up the tribunal? And has there been a budget allocated to fund that tribunal? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Governor. Brenda?
Honorable Governor, for the question. The independent tribunal is already in existence. It has been in existence for since the inception of the social assistance, since the inception of SASAD, well, basically. Well, so the current tribunal is already funded. The way it's structured, Honorable Member, is that the department advertises for people to become members of the tribunal. It's made up of a panel of doctors and lawyers who will hear the appeals or who will consider the appeals of people who are unhappy with decisions that are made by SASA. And they sit in a panel. The department hosts a kind of administrative support system for them. And that support system is also funded in the department. But the tribunal members are independent. They don't work for the department. They come to the department to deal with appeals. We do all the administrative support for them, and then they sit and consider all of the documentation that is provided for them, for disability, for those sorts of things. And then they make it an independent decision that is outside of the department's control. But they are appointed by the minister. After they apply basically to be in the panel, and then they are selected and appointed by the minister. But as you see in terms of the proposed change, that the portfolio committee suggested that before they find that the appointment is finalized, it should come via parliament for consideration. So there will be a shortlisting process that the portfolio committee deals with in order to appoint them. The ones that are there now, and Antoinette can give the exact numbers of how many we have, but they are funded they are paid according to their attendance, basically the number of appeals that they have dealt with. And Antoinette, maybe you want to say exactly how many we have in terms of the doctors and the nurses the doctors and the lawyers that are currently members of the appeals tribunal. No nurses. Antoinette, can you give the numbers?
Yes, thank you so much, ma'am, and thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. We currently have 19 independent legal practitioners, and then we have 15 medical practitioners. All of them, like Mr. Beku indicated, are independent. We only provide the administrative and secretarial support, and all of them have at least 5 years post-qualification experience within the disability or social security system, and that is why they are appointed based on their experience and also their knowledge. Thank you so much, ma'am.
Thank you, Antoinette. Member Govender, do you still have a follow-up?
Yes, Chair. You know, I'm reading clause 18 on page 4 of the bill, where it says the minister must, after consultation with Parliament, appoint an independent tribunal. Now, from what Brenda is saying, there's already a tribunal in place. So there seems to be a disjuncture here, because it says after consultation with Parliament, appoint a tribunal. Maybe some clarity on that, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Governor Brenda.
Sorry. I didn't clarify this correctly. The remember, this is an amendment bill. So the part that is being amended currently is the part that has to do with the allowing Parliament now to be the ones to have the Parliament intervention before the minister finalizes the appointment. This was not in the previous legislation. So the tribunal that is in place now was appointed under the normal system without involvement of Parliament in the appointment. So in terms of the amendment now, when we amend the legislation, it will be a requirement that the next time we appoint a tribunal, we have to take the applications through the parliamentary process. So that's a part of the amendment, basically, which was not there before.
Thank you for the clarification, Brenda. DJ, I think one of the issues that was raised by Member Kukani is the issue that he was making a point that in his province is, I can't recall what he said, it was 100 or 1,000 social workers that is unemployed. I want to take advantage of the opportunity of having the legislators also part of this meeting to ask you, because I remember last year when your department was before our committee, the minister gave an indication that social workers and auxiliary social workers can forward their details to the department so that it can also assist with a backlog of social workers. That's how you were talking now about the more than 1,500 social workers that were placed into the system. Maybe if Mr. Mkunu, if you can assist the members from the legislation and how they can also follow the process to assist this unemployed social workers and auxiliary social workers to become part of the system. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. What we'll do, Chair, is perhaps we can share with this committee email address or so, maybe two, that those can be sent to, and then we will engage with the provinces to see how best we could try and assist those social workers, those social work graduates. Normally, we do call for or send out a recruitment process to try and get some of those social workers who are not who have graduated but don't have work at the moment, and we will try and work through that process. What we could do is, I know just a few days ago, we engaged the National Treasury to assist us with additional funds to employ additional social workers, and we are yet to get a response in that regard, but I know that there are a number of processes that ought to be entailed. But perhaps what we can do is, when let me engage with the provinces and get the details in terms of when the recruitment processes will be unfolding. When the recruitment processes will be unfolding, and then we will share the contact details with your good office and your good office to then pass on to the provinces in that regard, if that's acceptable to you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Mkunu. I think it will assist the provinces. I need to emphasize again that this was a parliamentary briefing session, and documents were sent to the different legislatures, and if it was not shared with the members must go back to the committee coordinators in the legislatures to make sure that you get all the documentation. Now, on the way forward, I know the acting DG, when we start the meeting, said the Western Cape and the Eastern Cape
has requested to have their briefings in their provinces. Now, in the next week, those briefings will take place, and after that, provinces must embark on public hearings for 2 weeks. DJ, I'm not sure how it's going to be handled due to COVID, but I think the legislatures will use their imagination, if I must call it like that, on how to conduct the public hearings. Thereafter, legislatures will then send us a negotiation mandate to the NCOP, to this committee. And DSD will assist the provinces with the briefings upon request from the province. So if there is any other province that thinks they need a briefing in their province, they must make contact with DSD to assist them with that briefing meeting. Thank you very much. I think that is a process from here. If there is any question from the members and the process, I will allow that also. So if there is not, I would really like to show my appreciation to the department for doing this briefing to our committee. Thank you also to our staff from the select committee for your hard work and input into this process. Thank you to the members of the select committee. I know we had a very hard day starting very early this morning, and then there was a funeral in between, and now we're here again. But thank you for the hard work. And to the members of the legislatures, it was very, very much appreciated from outside that you were prepared to come and share this platform with us. I think the select committee is open for the legislatures. If there's any time that you think or feel that you want to be part of some of our meetings, you can contact your coordinator, can contact our committee clerk member Marcel, and you can put the request in. We are very open to work with the legislators in all provinces. Thank you very much for your participation. I'm really looking forward to come to a conclusion before the end of September on this bill, so that this bill can be approved, because it will make life so much easier for the department, and it will make life so much easier for all our children out there who is dependent on this grant. I thank you very much. Have a good night, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you,
Honorable
Chair. Thank you, Chair.
I don't get any coin sleep.
I will not lend it.
I don't get any coin sleep.
Not today, sir.
Thank you, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm fine. And you?
You must come.
Are you my commissioner
now?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you, leadership?